right, good singing all the way around. That's a blessing from on high to be able to come to the house of God. Now take your Bible, if you will. I studied hard this week here, and I was going to preach on a different subject this morning, and then yesterday, just I couldn't get away from this, so here we go. Here's what we'll do. I got the other sermon, Lord willing, maybe I'll preach it tonight. I hope so, because I don't like having to work on something all of a sudden and crash, you know. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. I hope you've had a good and prosperous week. Verse 23. If you're able to stand, look in verse 23. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there is none else. Now move upon us and within us. We want to say thank you for loving us, even while we were unlovable, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on this sermon entitled, Welcome Home, Son. Amen. When you look into this lesson that's here, there's a father that had a heavy heart. You'll remember that he had two boys. One of them stayed at home, but his heart wasn't there. The other one, he wanted to have his part of the living divided unto him, and he wasted it in a far country in riotous living. I want to say that whenever we think about this boy that came back home, even though his brother wasn't glad about it, his brother wasn't glad to see him, and yet I want to tell you, the father had been looking for him, the father had been yearning for him, and the father had been watching for him. You know, we went out to the rodeo this week. First time I've been in about 5 years. But anyhow, it was a good night out. It's good. I mean, you'll see a lot of things you didn't want to see and hear a lot of things you didn't want to hear. But it's a good, fun time out. I was just thankful that wasn't my kid on that one giant of a sheep that was jumping tractors and jumping cars. I mean, buddy, that dude throwed that little buddy off, and it was a blessing that he did. And then after they had the prayer and this and that, then they had the song. And I'm thinking this is the song that fits that daddy. He's over drinking and under thinking. That's where we're at in the world we're living in. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, is that you'll find that this is a great parable that's right here. And let me say to you, whenever you look into it, the prodigal son, here he was, and you'll find out he's returned from the far country. And my, the father, his father's been watching for him to return. His father's been looking for him and yearning for him and anxious about and never gave up hope on him. And he's been watching for him to come, and here he comes now. And when he gets there, that's the reason for the celebration and the jubilation. And the fatted calf's going to be killed. And let me tell you right now is they're going to make merry because the son has returned. Now, let me tell you what is that when you look into this, what leads up to that is that you'll find is that this young man had wasted his life in riotous living. You know, that's all sin will do for you, waste your life. You know, that's all sin will do for you, leave you broke. He got to where he didn't have anything left, and he was so hungry that he would have eaten of the husk that were given to swine. He was even feeding swine, which to a Jew is an unclean animal. But you'll find out that while he's looking at his life, he's realized he's wasted it. He spent all of his substance. And let me tell you, that's what sin will do. It'll leave you to die in the hog pen of this world if you're not careful. I'm glad to say to you that if you will, that if you die without the Lord, you'll wind up in hell. Well, first of all, number one is this young man came to a great realization. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? The reason why they're dying lost without God, they've never come to a great realization. And let me tell you something, this guy realized what everybody else could already see. But now it's not enough that everybody else could see it. It's going to have to be, he's going to have to see it. It's, if you're a girl, it's going to be, she's going to have to see it. And I will tell you, he came to a great realization. You know what he was doing? I can see him this there. Can you imagine that? He's shaking his head in desperation. All his money's gone. His life's a mess. He's no doubt had it cross his mind, you know what I've been doing ain't working. What I've been doing. So I can't tell you how many people, you know, that whenever they'd come and ask me for advice in days gone by, and, you know, excluding present company, but I can't tell you how many people that I've dealt with, and before that you could tell them what, here's what God said, they'd go to arguing about and telling you how they felt. And here's what I always say, doesn't matter what you feel, what you've been doing ain't working. See? And this Bible lesson is that the reason that I know that is because there was a time what I was doing wasn't working. I'd been down the aisle, bowed my head, said the prayer, got in the baptistry, so forth and on. Was in church, out of church, more out than I was in. And let me tell you, what I was doing wasn't working. Never brought peace in my heart. It never brought anything on the inside that would bring contentment. I got to say to you that, if you will, that here's this young man. He's come to see himself and to realize who he was. You know, the hardest thing in the world to ever do for me was to admit I was a sinner. Because let me tell you right now, I was a pretty good boy. You're not a pretty good boy. Well, you're not pretty, I know that. No, I'm just messing with you right there. What a handsome hunk you are. Not that men appeal to me at all. Of course, you've got a little bit of ways to go for manhood, but that's all right. You're getting there. You're tall enough to be. I can remember, you know, listen, I've never been drunk, never been on dope, never been with another woman outside of my wife, never got with her till after that we got married. I'm going to tell you, you're talking somebody as clean as they come. But I was as lost and undone without God and going to hell as the worst person you can think of. I had to realize and know who I was and that what I was doing wasn't working. He realized, you know, how great while he was there. You know, you'll never see how good the Father is till you see how bad you are. I can promise you one of these days here, some of you sons and daughters here, you know, that think that how in the world did my parents make it this far, as ignorant as they are? You've got all the answers now. One of these days you're going to come to the end of yourself and realize and know, I had it made down at the Father's house. And that's what these kids here, you know. That's what these kids. You know what you'll end up doing? Here's how you mess your life up. You'll spend your life in rebellion and trying to. I wonder what the Father wants. I'm doing the opposite of that. You're not telling me nothing. I got it all figured up and figured out. That's the way this man here had it. And this young man began to realize who he was, and not only that, he began to realize how good that his Father had been, how great that he had at the Father's house. And boy, when you recognize how good the Father is, it'll make you realize there's a change that's needed in your life. Now, I want to tell you something right now. There's not anybody here in this building can change for you. You'll have to do that yourself. Not anybody in this building can get saved for you. You'll have to do that yourself. Nobody in this building here can ever make a difference in your life. You're going to have to let God tug at your heart, open up your eyes, make you realize who you are, how great He is, and then and only then He's the one that can change you. I'll tell you something. First of all, he came to realize something that was very valuable that money can't buy. Number two is you'll find out that here's a man that repents. How do I know that? I read the chapter and I looked at it whenever, let me tell you, when you honestly examine yourself, it'll cause you to want to repent. You know what he said? He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm getting up out of this hog pen alive. I'm going to my Father's house and tell him I'm no more worthy to be called your son. See? I was thinking about in this lesson that we're looking at is that we all of us, every now and again, people, you know how they'll say, boy, that there is going to make you pay for your upbringing. I didn't know if that was just a role that I needed to follow or what. I'm sure I made my mama pay for her upbringing. She must have been a bad girl back in her day, too. No, she was a fine lady, as you well know. I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into it, you'll find that he finally realizes and knows, hey, I'm not worthy. You know, in the day and hour we're living in, there's too many people that make a profession without God-given repentance, and there'll be no redemption without repentance. If God gives you repentance, it'll make you want to turn from yourself, turn from your sin, turn from the world, the flesh, the devil, and turn to the Heavenly Father. This young man came to realize, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that, if you will, that he goes back there to the Father. He's got it all made up, what he's going to say and how he's going to get it straightened up and straightened out. He didn't know the Father was more anxious for him to return than he was to get there. Father had been watching for him and saw him when he was coming across there, no doubt. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that that brings me to the fact that he makes a return. And the Bible said when he returns in verse number 18, he goes to tell him, Father, I'll rise and go to my father. He said, I'll say unto him, he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I want to tell you, he makes a confession that he's a sinner before God. He said, I've sinned against heaven and against earth and against thee and so forth. And oh, I'm a sinner. And you know, it's hard to be able to say that. I've dealt with a lot of people that say, you know, well, I know I'm a sinner, but, oh, I say, you're a billy goat sinner. You're a billy goat Baptist. I like going to church, but. I don't mind, but. I sound like somebody that's been doing too much drinking and over drinking and underthinking. Here's an old boy then to the place. There ain't no ifs, no ads, no buts about it. He's got no argument whatsoever. Here's a man that makes his mind up. I'm returning to the Father, and he makes confession whenever he goes to get there. Now, I want you to watch this here, that while he's trying to make a confession in verse 19, talking about how unworthy that he is, he arose, came to his father, but while he was yet away a great way off, look at him, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. Now, I want you to look at that, and I want you to pay close attention. Because here's a young man that's got it in his mind what he wants to say. He wants to put all the blame on himself, and that's good. And he wants to be able to face the Father, and that's great. But let me tell you what he does is that whenever he gets to where the Father's at, in verse number 20, when he goes there, the Father's been watching for him to come for a long time. And when he sees him coming from a great way on, the Father had compassion on him. You know, the Father's more anxious for him to come than he is to get there. And the Father fell on his neck and began to kiss him. Now, look in verse 21. And the Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. And let me tell you what the Father did was, he did not look at any of that. Hey, if you've confessed before God, you got your business straightened out before the Father. Let me tell you, your earthly father don't care. He's just glad to see you get your business straight with God. And the Bible said that he began to say, I want you to bring out the best robe and put on my son, and the ring on his finger, and shoes on his feet. He was dead, he's alive again. He was lost, now he's found. I will tell you, it was a good and a rejoicing day that whenever he came to the Father. Did you notice the rejoicing that's in the heart and the jubilation that's in the air? In the lesson there that we're looking at, and the Father, verse 23, said, bring hither the fatted calf. That's what we read, and kill it. Let's eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, in closing, I want to tell you, when you get saved by the grace of God, the old accounts have been settled. And when the old accounts have been settled, let me tell you, there's going to be singing, there's going to be joy, there's going to be jubilation, and there's going to be supper that'll be enjoyed down at the Father's house. See that? I was thinking about years ago, some people that I've dealt with. And there's a lot of wickedness and godlessness in this world that we're living in. And you'll run upon them all the time. Sometimes it's men. Sometimes it's women. Their life are just in shambles. The whole world's been turned upside down. And many times, They hang their head knowing I made a wrong turn, but they're too proud to go and join up with the Father at the Father's house. See that? I guarantee you, just all they need is just one prayer away from having joy and jubilation and supper with the Heavenly Father. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that I'm saved. And if I don't wake up here in the morning, I'll wake up on a street of gold at the Father's house, and I'll be having supper in heaven with my Heavenly Father. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God put such a person in this Bible as an example that you and I could see that our Father loves us even when we're unlovable. Our Father is ready to forgive us even when we've been unforgivable. Our Father's ready to put the robe of righteousness on. That's when he said, bring the robe. Remember over in Isaiah 51, whatever he talked about, 61, excuse me, whatever he said to bring the robe of righteousness. Let me tell you, is that when you've been clothed with the righteousness of God, that's the best robe you'll ever have. I don't know about you, but can you read and see this in the Father's voice as we read it again when he said, verse 23 and 4, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now I want to tell you something. That's a time of rejoicing. Time of rejoicing. Now in closing, I want to be done with this right here, because what an awesome responsibility. We realize and know that the idea is pointing to the Heavenly Father above. But let me talk to you daddies, you earthly mamas and daddies here. Your kids needing somebody to follow. Yes, sir. You're going to need somebody to follow. They do. Yeah. And do you realize and know that if they can't look to you, who are they going to look to? Right. See? Yes. Whatever it is, it may be dragging you down and dragging you back and dragging you under, whatever that is. You would have to finally come to yourself to realize and know, my Father's got more than that for me. He's got more than that for me. And I can tell you what you'll do is, you'll never regret having run to the arms of a forgiving Heavenly Father and getting your business straightened out. You know what he'll say? If you're a man, welcome home, son. If you're a woman, welcome home, daughter. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while our musicians are coming, while our song director comes. And as we get ready to sing the invitation song, I want to say thank you, Lord, for loving us. There may be somebody here this morning say, preacher, I'm the son or I'm the daughter that God wants to welcome. May they come to an old-fashioned altar and lay it on the altar with God. I want to say thank you, Lord, for loving us and forgiving us and giving us joy unspeakable and full of glory, knowing thy act has not yet been told. Now bless, I pray, the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?
Page 165.
165. You need to come by.